Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is May 1st, which means we have been doing this thing for 5 months. That is bananas. I cannot believe how the year has just flown by. You hear that all the time. It's very cliche. But seriously, how the hell is it May already? That is wild. At least the weather is warming up here in the state of Wisconsin. It's good to see that we may be through the whole snow mess. I know that snow in May is a thing that can happen, so I am not officially denouncing snow. I hope it's gone, but you just really never know. So let's dive into it. SnowTapWI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know this. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud. We are really sorry about yesterday. Basically, SoundCloud had an issue, and I thought it was uploaded because I saw it on the site, and I was trying to get it up before I went off to the day job, and SoundCloud fixed itself, I think, middle of the day. So yesterday's podcast is up on SoundCloud, and it's now on your iTunes, your Google Play, whatever you guys are subscribed to. So it's all there. It's just obviously a day late. I don't know how much you want to listen to that. But if you do, go back and listen to it. We'd much appreciate it. But obviously understand if you just stick to today because it's a daily podcast. So things that were talked about yesterday may not even matter today, including things like the Brewers and if the Cubs are in their head, because Josh Hader came out and just dominated the haters, man. Josh Hader, and he doesn't have haters, but he dominated Cincinnati. He struck out 8 of the 9 batters that he faced. He was absolutely electric last night. Josh Hader took his game to another level, and the hype around Josh Hader has never been higher. He strikes out officially 39 batters in 64 batters. So that's the ratio right now, 39 to 64. Think about that for a second. So if we do the quick math, because you know your boy Snowtap is not a math major, that means he's striking out guys 61% of the time he faces them. Do you know how absurd that is? The things that Josh Hader are doing are Superman-like shit. He has become a fan favorite overnight. He's become the most feared player on the Milwaukee Brewers. He is just growing his star game after game. I think the old school guys love him. I saw Don August, former Brewer, tweet out about how much he loved Josh Hader going for almost 3 innings for a save yesterday. That Craig Counsell is bringing back the quote old school, but in reality, Craig is about as new school as it gets, especially with his short leash on pitchers. He pulled Chacin pretty early in this one. Chacin did not make it past the 5th inning. After a few good starts, he definitely struggled in Great American Ballpark. I think that does not surprise anybody. Chacin is not that great of a pitcher, and he struggles against lefties. Cincinnati is full of lefties. This ballpark stinks, and that is just a bad combination for our boy Chacin. But back to Hader. Hader just, I think you haven't seen anything like this. I mean, he is going to get a lot of national attention. He already is. I mean, Tom Verducci wrote about him. I think he was a player of the week last week for the MLB. He's going to get a lot of hype. But at the same time, I think Hader can handle it. I'm not really concerned about Josh Hader not living up to the potential. I mean, yes, is he going to have games where he may give up a run, but in the end he'll be okay? Yeah, he's not going to strike out. He's not going to do this on a regular basis. I mean, it was impressive. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's unrealistic for Brewers fans to think this is the Josh Hader they're going to get all the time. But, I mean, if he keeps this up, he's probably the first, reliever in a long time that would make a claim for a Cy Young Award. And it is way too early to be talking about awards, but right now Josh Hader is a bona fide all-star. There's no question about that. That is lock of lock. But the conversation about, well, does he deserve a Cy Young? Does he deserve some votes? I think is a real conversation that we could be having on the Daily Tap in September, depending on how the Brewers season goes, what Josh Hader does. He's right up there, man. He is definitely a stud. He is just completely throwing gas. Cincinnati will be glad to not face him today. It was also good to see the Brewers' offense get back into stride. Domingo Santana getting a big two-run double to propel the crew was fantastic, as Santana has not really had a big hit all year. So, now the Brewers will go to game two with the Cincinnati Reds tonight. We probably won't chat about this evening since we'll be doing Tapping the Keg, but I'm sure Mitch has some Hader thoughts, as Hader's been his favorite. I think Hader is the guy on this roster. I think there's a lot of Lorenzo Cain, a lot of Christian Yelich love, but Hader is going to, there's going to be so many 71 Hader jerseys popping up all over the place, Haderade shirts, the whole kit and caboodle. If Gatorade was smart, they would come out with a Haderade brand just for the Miller Park. They do have a Pepsi relationship. I'm just saying that's a way to tie in a sponsorship. Just start selling Haderade and let Josh create whatever he desires. The next topic is an interesting one because I don't want to like take shots at media members, and I know that I've said that before, that I'm not here to really like be friendly, and I'm not trying to burn bridges. It's just if I see something that is kind of bullshit, I'm going to call it out, and I'm not going to kind of let it slide. And so I feel like Ryan Wood of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I was way off base with his draft takes. Like, Wood was on 105.7 The Fan as I was driving home on Monday afternoon from work. And Wood made the comment that, I don't know what the Packers are going to do about right tackle. They didn't address the edge rusher's position. And while that's all, and why did they draft a punter? That's all fine and good. I get what Wood is trying to say. The Packers had some holes and they didn't exactly address it. But at the same time, we have to understand that the NFL draft isn't this 3-day thing where you're drafting everything of need. That if you draft a right tackle there, he is not going to immediately be a starter. Same with an edge rusher. You're not going to get a starter. That also, you know, and Justice Muscata had a great tweet about how this draft really is only four rounds. That it really, after the fourth round, everything's a crapshoot. And everything is sort of thrown out the window, and you get guys that are available. You know, the Equanimous St. Browns, who was a top 100 player by Pro Football Focus status, hell, he was a top 75 player, they got him at 207. You make those kind of moves. You get a punter who, let me remind everybody, I feel like people don't watch enough college football. J.K. Scott was a fucking awesome punter. I can't believe I have to defend a punter, but here we are. J.K. Scott was a difference maker for Alabama last year and years before. He played a large role in Alabama winning a national championship. I know that sounds crazy about a punter, but Scott had so many good punts and would pin opponents back to make sure that he would completely flip the field. He is a damn good punter. I am all in on J.K. Scott. If anyone is a J.K. Scott hater, they can come to my office and we can have a conversation. Because I think J.K. Scott can really be a beneficial player. I think Justin Vogel had a good year, but he didn't have a great year. J.K. Scott could be a great punter. Wood said he had to be a top three punter to justify a pick. Absolutely not. That is not the case. He doesn't have to do anything like that. He has to be great, sure. But the Packers had a ton of draft picks. Why not address special teams needs? They needed special teams help. The Packers struggled in the punt in a holder game. Scott's a great holder. They struggled with a long snapper. They finally got a long snapper. That's okay to do when you have 12 picks. You can't compare it to Mike Sherman and B.J. Sander. Greg Matzik brought that up, and it's worth mentioning. They only had 6 picks that draft. It was fucking weird to trade up for a punter. The Packers didn't do that. They got a punter at the position. It is perfectly fine. He was a stud punter. there is nothing wrong with J.K. Scott. Another thing mentioned, not to continue to shit on this interview, he said that Derwin James and Jair Alexander will always be compared to each other. All right, I don't disagree with that. I think you're always going to have that. There's no way around that, but let's unpack it a little bit more. Number one, they play different positions. If Derwin James was a cornerback and had some of the similar skills that he did, and obviously I have to have a little bit of a different skill set, Derwin James and Alexander should be compared step by step. The fact that the Packers did not need a safety, they have a Josh Jones type who is like Derwin James, maybe not as good, but the fact of the matter is they have a guy in their system, means that the Packers didn't really want him. And that's a real fact. They did not have room for Derwin James. I said this on a couple podcasts last week. I'll say it again. They didn't have room for Derwin James. So let's clear that misconception. Then the idea of let's also not forget that Calvin Pryor and we had the same conversation about Calvin Pryor and Ha-Ha Glenn Dix. And Ha-Ha Glenn Dix did have a down year. He admitted it as much last night on Twitter. But Ha-Ha Glenn Dix has been a far superior player than Calvin Pryor. So just because, and there was a lot of hype. Like people were like, is Calvin Pryor, people thought Calvin Pryor was much better than Ha-Ha Glenn Dix. So like, let's not forget that. Like this happens all the time. It happens in every draft. And at the end of the day, they have guys in mind and some guys they don't. So I didn't mean to shit all over Wood, but I feel like we have to change the narrative about the draft. We have to understand that not everybody is going to be selected and not every position is going to be addressed. There are veterans. There's time for to get veterans. It's May. We have till June for a signing period as guys are going to get released because undrafted rookies and rookies are going to take their spots. So there could be a tackle or an edge rusher that becomes available in that. Or after the June 1 guaranteed money date, they're going to see some other players fall off. So there's going to be other guys available. If the Packers do not have a right tackle by training camp, yes, I'll be concerned. We'll talk about it on the Daily Tap. Same with edge rushers. Although I think they're okay on the edge rusher position, as Mike Pettine is classically known for making chicken salad out of chicken shit. I always fuck that up. So not a surprise I did it here. All right, let's wrap it up real quick. I am running late, a little late of late morning podcast, but you know, I got to give it to the people. NBA playoffs real quick. I think it's interesting that the NBA playoffs are so good in round one, and then in round two, you kind of deflate, and then it gets good again. It's kind of this roller coaster. Like, this is the lull. Like, this is the time where I start tuning into hockey a little bit more. Like, I was actually mad that I fell asleep and missed the Vegas comeback against the Sharks after they blew a 3-1 lead. They came back to win it in overtime late last night, and I fell asleep early on, so I missed that entire thing. But I start paying a little more attention to hockey because it seems like with basketball, all we get is blowouts. And we have not got a good round two game yet. The Warriors just ran right through the Pelicans on Saturday, and then Sunday, the Jazz got blown out by Houston. Not really surprising. I think the Jazz were coming off a high of getting through and beating the Thunder, and so it was kind of expected that they'd falter. And then Boston pretty much laid down the hammer against Philadelphia yesterday. So thus far, we have not really seen a good game. Maybe Cleveland and Toronto gets that, although I think Toronto is going to blow them out tonight. I think Cleveland needs a game to reset, and I think once they get that, they'll be all right, but they do need some time off to sort of just get their mind right. LeBron, I wouldn't be surprised, struggles tonight. I mean, if Cleveland does win, you could argue that Cleveland is right back into sort of the driver position. But yes, I think Boston-Philly will be a good series at the end of it. I don't know about the other ones. I want to believe that Jazz-Rockets will be a good series. I love the Jazz. I think the Jazz are a very fun team, but it's clear that Houston is a bad matchup for them. They were 4-0 against them all last year, and it's continuing on in the playoffs. Same goes with the Pelicans and Warriors. The Pelicans play a pace that fits right into the Warriors' style, And that's bad news, Bears. So both of the Western Conference could be wrapped up in about five games. I could see both Eastern Conference going long. I think Boston's going to beat Philly. I really do. I thought that prior to the game. I think Brad Stevens is a magician. I don't think Philly is there just yet. They see the hype. I said Miami was kind of not great, and I think Philly got hyped up because of how well they played against Miami. And then with Cleveland and Toronto, I actually do have the Raptors. I think that LeBron, while has been great, he still has to have a supporting cast to rely on. I get Toronto's had some trouble with LeBron in the past. I think this year is different. I want to believe it's different. I think the Raptors win six games and get it done. And we have a Toronto-Boston Eastern Conference Finals along with, we literally go chalk across the board with Golden State and Houston. But we shall see what happens. We will be on Tabbing the Keg tonight. Mitch Pratt and I are in the building. We'll talk about the Brewers, Bucks, and Packers probably is all of those topics. We'll do a lot about sort of a deep dive, a end of year sort of exit interview of the Milwaukee Bucks, see where we go from here, talk about the head coaching search, and I'm sure that will be the focus of our conversation tonight. So look forward to that tomorrow. We will be back on the Daily Tap for Thursday. Okay, Tappers, take care. Have a good one. Bye.